the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, my believers, those who trust in me, because I'm the rock. And he instituted the gathered church so that the scattered church has got a rock to stand on. So what did they do? They gathered together. In fact, Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. So what does the devil want us to do? Be unchurched. It's the new movement. Church? Are you kidding me? Church? I'm too busy. Church, man, I don't know. I just commend you for being part of the gathered church. My greatest prayer for you today is that at the very least, on the authority of God's word, that you are going to be fortified because you're part of the gathered church.
We all want to be a somebody, but sometimes it's the nobodies that make the greatest difference. Listen today as we discover that together. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, and today's message, When a Nobody Came to Church. We'll be opening God's Word to the book of Acts in just a few moments. Chapter 3, as a matter of fact. But as we prepare for this time of study with Dr. Wilton, know that we're available for you each and every day. It is our joy to connect, to pray, to spend time opening our hearts towards what's going on in your life so that we can pray specifically for you at 866-899-WORD. That phone number again is 866-899-9673. Or if you'd like, let's connect online. TEWonline.org is our address. That's TEWonline.org. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to open your Bibles today to one of the most remarkable passages ever. It's found in the book of Acts and chapter 3. The book of Acts and chapter 3. Now remember that we are studying a theme, living in the 11th hour. I want to speak to you today on the subject, when a nobody came to church. By nobody, I do not mean that he was valueless or worthless. By nobody, I just want to say that there is something about this man that tells me something about you and about me. Something very special happened. Let's read it. I'm in Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a nobody, a man, for some reason, we're not even given his name, a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began to beg and asked for help. As Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Hello, nobody, look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do give to you, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong, and he, leaping up, stood and began to walk, and he entered into the church with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for help. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. Everybody's looking for something. You're looking for something right now. I know. We all are. Actually, it's really not whether or not our team is going to win a ball game. That's what we enjoy, and we certainly root for it, but that's not what people are really looking for. You know that. You know that. Deep down inside of you, you know you cannot perpetually stand in the rain and watch a ball game. The final whistle always blows. That's why I'm so glad that you came to church. Jesus knew that these people were living in a very difficult world. And he was showing something here. He was saying something about a lot of things. But in the middle of that, he was putting the church and the people who are a part of the church and those who come to church and what happens at church and what should happen at church. And when this doesn't happen, it's not the church. It's just another football club. It's just another program. It's just another downpour. It's just another temporary measure. It's just another momentary escape. It's just another pom-pom. When this man came to church, I just want to show you something here that just God has shown me, and I want to share this with you today, because there's somebody listening right now that this is it. When he came to church, there are a couple of things that I noticed. Number one, he came because the church was at prayer. In that first verse, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, I understand that he was way beyond the limits of the prayer meeting. But God's trying to tell us that what was going on at the church is that there were people talking to God. Isn't that great? I don't think it's any accident that the church that he came to was a praying church. I'm just one person. But I just want you to know I've been talking to God about you. And because of that, and because he already knows, he knows about you before you even get here. But he also came to church because someone bothered to bring him. Right here in this verse here, it says a lame man from birth was being carried. Do you know that people who stand in the rain until late at night watching a ball game, but that's not really what they're looking for, will not get here unless somebody bothers to bring them? Do you know the majority of people who will be in church when the weather's bad will most likely only be those who are able to carry themselves there, the faithful ones? Hurting people are less inclined to take themselves to church. Hurting people respond to love and to care. All somebody who's hurting needs to hear is, I'll go with you. I'll take you. You want to come with me? I'll pick you up. I'll sit with you. See, people don't get intimidated going to a ball game. You can be the loneliest, most hurting person in the world, and a ball game wouldn't matter one bit because it's just a madhouse. Nobody knows and nobody actually cares. You just get lost in the crowd, but not in church. You cannot get lost in the crowd in church. And the last thing a hurting person wants to do is to actually be recognized in a crowd. I don't want that. Someone who's going through health problems, marriage problems, every kind of spiritual problem, the last place they will take themselves is where they think they may be singled out somehow. Oh, by the way, this man, the Bible says, was lame from his mother's womb, so he couldn't have got there even if he wanted to. Now, he could have probably crawled there, but most people who have to crawl to get somewhere actually opt out of the crawl. Have you noticed, by the way, when people go through difficult times in church, the first thing they do is they stop going to church? I have watched people in my own church, and I'm speaking symbolically here, front and center, serving the Lord, and something happens. Marriage problems, sin problems, they move to the middle, to the back, out to the street. Why? But you won't have any problem finding them at the ball game next Saturday because they get lost in the crowd. The very thing that they need most is what hurting people run away from most. When a nobody came to church, he came because the church was at prayer. There was people just praying for themselves and for one another. Came because someone bothered to bring him, but he also came because there were people there. I actually love that because the Bible tells us right here in this passage, in the second part of verse 2, it says that he sat right at the entrance of the church to encounter all the people entering there. He came because there were people there. Evidently, he understood that if you could put a whole bunch of people there, somehow, in a strange kind of way, that people can do something. Now, he wasn't quite sure what it was. That becomes evident. He was just lame. But he knew that there were people there. He said, okay, well, just take me, because all these people are going to church. Just put me there. There are people there. I'm going to where the people are. Now, this is ironic. And by the way, he still is not saying, I'm going to go in the church, but I'm going to sit right outside that door. Do you know how many people there are that are sitting at the door of churches across America? Just because of people like you and me are there. I wonder how many of us just pass them by. But he also came to church, and I love this part. He came to church because he needed help. That's a good one. The Bible says here in verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began to beg. He needed help. This man, I think it's pretty obvious because the Bible tells us he was lame from his mother's womb. Now, back in his day, we know that they didn't have the amenities and the facilities and the medical wherewithal to be able to help him. I mean, this man was doing the only thing that he could do in order to survive. He needed somehow, he still had to live. He obviously couldn't work. He was immobilized. He couldn't get around. He was regarded perhaps somewhat as an outsider, even as the scourge of society. We know from these things how that people with all kinds of problems become ostracized. So he came to the church. I think he made a really good choice. That's the way the church should be. He came because he needed help, but he also came because he had heard about the preachers.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, When a Nobody Came to Church, by Dr. Wilton, in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that as we, 8 days away from Christmas, as we round the corner of this holiday season, we want to help not only celebrate the Christ of Christmas, but make that a part of who we are throughout every day of 2020. You can sign up for a number of things that will help you be more disciplined in your quiet time, including the Daily Encouraging Word email, or perhaps the very special book. Doc will tell you more about it at the end of the broadcast today, but a leather-bound daily devotional that we'd love to put in your hands just to give you a tool to study God's Word on a regular basis. You can call for your copy at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And coming up in the next few days, we're just excited about some special Christmas messages that you do not want to miss every day on the broadcast of The Encouraging Word. After The Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton, or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Wilton.
I got to say this. I wanted to try and get around this. I couldn't get around it. This is by no means, let me give you a disclaimer, this is not about me here. I'm not trying to say something about me, excepting I've got to say something about me because it's the Bible. And the Bible says that he heard about Peter and John. They were the preachers. I think that preachers and teachers and spiritual leaders are held to a far higher level of accountability than anybody. I've got to always fall on my face before God and ask God, Lord, please help me. Because you know what? I also itch and I also stub my toe and I also like chocolate cake and donuts and I also get a little bit upset every now and again. And I also, you know, say silly things and I also, you know, react in the wrong way. And I also kick the dog and the Humane Society comes after me. And I also, you know, I'm also a human being. I get tired and grumble and, hey, listen, anyone want to join with me in this little pity party right now? You know, it's the old proverbial. You know, my sons and my daughter just tickle me no end. You want to go eat with me and my sons and my daughter to any restaurant you name in this entire region. Do you know what they make me do? They make me sit in a corner table with my face facing the wall all the time. My kids do that to me because they say to me, Dad, if we don't do that, we don't get to eat out with you because everybody seems to know you. So what happens if I did go to the ball game and I really told you what I thought of that referee? So what happens if I did play that game of golf and I duffed my shot, which I'm inclined to do, and I launched my golf club and turned it into a helicopter rotor blade? I just want to say this to you. He came because he heard about the preachers. Oh man, that's such a challenge to all of us. Sunday school teachers and life group leaders and discipleship leaders and moms and dads and parents and grandparents. But he came, number six, because he expected to receive something. So what happened when nobody came to church? I mean, the Bible is just so very clear here. The Bible says in no uncertain terms in verse 5 that he expected to receive something from them. And I want to look at you today and I want to say to you, I'm so glad that you have come expecting to receive something. Now, I want to show you three things here that are very important. Number one, he came to church. That has just so deeply grabbed my heart in this 11th hour. As I watch and I see churches crumbling and people not interested and churches scrambling and competing and trying to invent new programs and come up with new this and try to do that. He came to church. But I want you to note in the second place that he shared his need. Now watch this, folks. This is fantastic. He shared his need. Do you know what his need was? He said, I need some money. That was his need. I want you right now to release from your heart your need. It doesn't matter. What is it? Joy, peace, happiness. Do you need money? Do you need a job? Do you need healing? Do you need reconciliation? Do you need forgiveness? What do you need? He just shared his need. God invites us to come to his house to share our need. And when we come to a praying church where people are and where preachers and leaders are striving to share the love of Christ, and we just share our need, let me show you what happens. He was instantly healed. And today, that's the reason why I'm so glad. Yep, we've come in from outside and we've gathered and we're sitting here. We're a mass of humanity. But God knows us and he knows every need and every circumstance. You came, you're sharing your need, and in the name of Jesus, you're going to receive instant healing.
Perhaps the Lord has stirred your heart to have some questions about what it is to say yes to Jesus. Let us help discover those answers together in the Bible, God's encouraging word. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That number again is 866-899-9673. Or connect keyboard to keyboard with us online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Before we get away, perhaps these are the most important thoughts from our pastor about this entire broadcast.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. Every single time I get up and have the privilege of being able to share God's word with you, I pray for you. And I ask God to allow me to see you through my spiritual heart, because I know how much God loves you.
I just want you to know that it means a great deal to me that you would write to me, that you would allow us to partner together. Your life is important. It's important, first of all, to the Lord Jesus, every step of every day. But it's also important to me because I'm part of your family. We are part of the family of God. So God bless you, my friend, and thank you for letting me pray for you.
Oh, the Lord has spoken to you in this time. Won't you let us pray with you? Let us put some resources in your hand. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. And remember, I talked about this very special book to launch 2020. Here's Dr. Don with the rest of the details.
This year again, I was blessed to join with several pastors and Christian leaders from across the country in writing a brand new 52-week devotional called The Heart of Worship. I want to make a copy available to you and for you to have copies that you can get to send to your families and friends at Christmas time. What a wonderful Christmas gift to give to those that you love. In fact, as we begin a new year, begin it with God. So thank you, my friends, for picking up the phone and calling to request the Heart of Worship devotional today. God bless you.
The number to call is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org.
You know, these are such special times together. I'm so grateful, my friends, that we can worship together like this through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. And you're such a vital part of all that God's doing. And I just love you. And I want you to know that. You know, this ministry goes on 24 hours round the clock all the time. We want to be involved in your life and we want to continue to pray for you. You can call us at any time. You can partner with us all the time through prayer and through your giving. We know that you are 100% engaged as we are in sharing God's truth with our searching world. That's what this is all about. We need Jesus, don't we? And God is doing a great work. And I love you today. Thank God for you. Pray for you. God bless you.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Don, I'm a prisoner here in North Carolina, and I've been listening to your preaching on the radio broadcast each morning for quite some time now. I really wanted to write you to let you know what a blessing you have been to me. Hearing you preach the Word of God and how you love the Lord Jesus Christ has just truly touched my heart more than I could ever express. I'm 42 years old, and I was brought up in church and have always had a deep love for Jesus Christ. I was saved at a young age, but got on the wrong path that caused me such heartache and sorrow. I've been through pancreatic cancer and a lot of health issues, but the Lord has blessed me to live and to be healed. I know in my heart He has called me for a purpose to serve Him, and I will be getting released in just a few more years. And my dream is to get into the ministry for Jesus Christ and to live for Him the rest of my life. When I hear you preach and teach, it just touches my heart so deeply, and I want to be able to meet you in person one day, and I look forward to hearing you on the radio each and every day.